you're here. Fellowship, freedom, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. And I'm looking at my calendar here, Marianne.
Yeah.
I don't have anything written down on Saturday.
I don't know what to say.
Wow. I don't know if you were tuned in yesterday, but it seems like every day for the next month or two, I have something scheduled for our Great News Radio listeners.
Something to attend,
to participate in, to be aware of. In fact, it took about 10 minutes to cover all the different activities and things going on. Mm-hmm. So I won't reiterate them all, but I will feature or highlight a few because I think this trip's going to fill up pretty fast. It's happening in October, October 6th through the 11th. It's a six-day trip to Washington, D.C. You can find out all about it at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Mm-hmm. You'll see this graphic of the Lincoln Memorial. You'll see pictures of the White House, a little collage of some of the places that we'll attend. And
it's called Our American Heritage Trip.
Yes, it's going to be a great trip. It includes like 17 meals and all the parking, the fees. And Dave and Chris Sender, they're going to be hosting it. They've gone to Washington, D.C. like 32 times, so they know when to get in the traffic, what's the best sights to see, time of day. They're going to be fantastic.
They've been down to those parts more than some people who live there.
Yeah, right. So stop by our website. You'll learn about our upcoming events, the one with the children's choir at the I Hotel at the end of the month on the 30th. Then Huntley Brown's come into town. He'll be at the First United Methodist Church right next to Lincoln Square here. It's a 7 p.m. presentation on Sunday, April 7th, joined by the Singing Men of GNN.
Ivan Parker
is going to be coming to town on Saturday, June 8th. And so all that information can be accessed at greatnewsradio.org. So find out. There's other events that are coming up in the area. But one event is today. It's Larry Stevens' radio debut.
Yay.
He's one of our content contributors. Actually, he's sought after. People love to read his movie reviews. And how did we come up with the name? Did you decide on it finally, Larry? We had like 15 or 20.
Oh, you had everybody chiming in trying to decide it, including yourself.
Yes, I think I submitted about 10 or 12 options.
You did.
Who finally won? Who pulled that one off?
Oh,
it wasn't me. I nominated a couple of names, but they didn't
make
the cut.
I think it might have been you, Mark. I hate to say it.
Oh.
I think it might have been
No, I really did know. Was it me? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I submitted like 15 or 20.
Yeah.
But, Larry, we're so glad to have you a part of our Great News Radio team content contributors. Some of you might remember his voice from It's a Wonderful Life. He's a part of the Great News Radio theater troupe, and he was Freddie Fillmore. So he opened up the program after a few different remarks, and we had WVA, and then he closed it out. I think it was like reciting 49 different names and their characters.
You did a great job.
A great close.
And we did that after, I think, the original cut. You called me back in and read the credits.
Yeah, that's right. And it's well done. It's interesting. And then you mentioned their names and highlighted the role they had. In fact, one of your sons, Eli, he was young Harry, and then he was young Peter.
That was his radio debut.
Yes.
That's great.
He really enjoyed it.
When I have people in here, I show them the Prime Lifetimes paper, that whole wall over there, and then I bring them in here, and they go, wow, this is the studio. I said, we had like 49 people in here doing crowd scenes, all the special effects, the whole It's a Wonderful Life was produced right in here. So
it's great to remember that.
So welcome back. It's
been
a few months since you've been here, but you've been writing for us for
almost a year. Well, I think about a year.
Yeah, so we have 17 editions, and after a few months, after we started getting our teeth cut on this, we thought, wouldn't a movie review be good? And I think you had said, hey, if you ever needed a movie review or something, you would be willing. So take us through, how do you determine what movie or what you might feature? Is it something that you've watched in the past? Is it something you're going to research and you're thinking, I want to do a romantic one this month? How do you determine that?
Well, Marianne's given me a pretty wide latitude of, you know, what I could do, but her only parameter was, you know, PG-13 or under, which I was all for, you know. I realize that, you know, we can get into some pretty dicey content there with the rated R and stuff. So, but a lot of the movies, in fact, most of the movies that I've done so far have been movies that I really loved. But I knew a lot of my friends, and you know, just in conversations with people, I, you know, eventually if we verge into movies, I start, you'll get me going, and
yeah.
I'll gladly talk about movies, you know, because I'm very passionate about the medium and yeah. that kind of stuff. Anyway, a lot of those movies are movies that I loved, but would find out a lot of people have never seen before,
uh-huh.
or they'd never heard of. And with today's access to all kinds of streaming mm-hmm. services and things, you know, it used to be, you know, if you didn't see that movie, you'd have to hope that your video store had it or something.
Right.
But nowadays, you can go on Amazon Prime or, I'm sorry, can I say?
Yeah.
Am I buzz marketing for Amazon right now? Yeah, sorry. Anyway, go on to those streaming services
right.
like that, and you can find any movie. And I've been really impressed with, you know, what I've been able to find, you know, thinking, oh, there's no way nobody's going to have this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you still in mourning, though? I read a story recently about there's only one blockbuster left in the whole world.
It's
in the United States.
I am a little
and
in
that's,
mourning over that.
That was an industry,
yeah.
you know, 10, 15 years ago. There was, yeah. I think they said, like 4,000 blockbusters all around, thriving. Who would have known that now there's only one left? I think
I
there
know.
Were two left. One was like in Europe or England, and then that one closed, and now there's one somewhere in the United
yeah.
States. And that's it.
Another instance, I think, of the Internet and social media making us less social, you know, because I used to go to the movie rental place. I love browsing the aisles.
Oh, me too.
And just, you know, and I was kind of a sucker for good cover art, you know, or something. It would be a movie I'd never seen before.
Right.
If it had an exciting-looking cover
yeah.
or something, I might pick it up.
Like the old bookstores.
Right. And or you'd bump into people and, mm-hmm. you know, they'd be like, oh, have you seen that? Oh,
yeah.
you need to see
yeah.
that. You know, it was like instantaneous
right.
reviewer
mm-hmm.
right there with you. And but you met people and you got to share ideas and things. Yeah, I'm somewhat mourning over that.
Yes. So. What's neat about your many reviews, it might be a picture from the 40s, the
right.
50s, the 30s. I mean, an old one that's been forgotten or not been watched for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I think last month it was It Should Happen to You from 1954.
Looks hilarious.
And you were saying you can't wait to watch
oh, yeah.
that one or
looks
see
funny.
That one. And to what we're going to have
Jack
you read in a few
Jack
minutes.
Jack Lemmon's screen debut. His, I should say his first, I don't know if it was the first time he was on the big screen, but I think it was his first starring role.
Wow.
So. Yeah, it's a really good movie.
And what was the one you did of the man who kind of went across the country?
Oh, yeah, the,
what was that called?
The Straight Story.
Yeah, that
so,
looked really, really...
And that is the only rated G film that David Lynch has ever done. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with that director, but his movies are generally a little racier.
Mm.
He was the one who also did that television show, the had the murder of that girl. It was very kind of surrealistic.
Oh.
I'm going to get pounded by my friends because I can't remember the name of the show.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, Twin Peaks. So
Twin
there
Peaks.
We go. So anyway, he was the guy who, you know, created Twin Peaks. Anyway, this movie, Straight Story, as a kid who grew up in the Midwest, it was one of the few films where, you know, you had a protagonist who was, you know, a guy from the Midwest. Usually it's, you know, the New York ad exec
yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, somebody a little more exciting. But, you know, being a true story, too, it was, or based on a true story. But I think what I loved most about it was just this this guy, you know, who lived this very long, very full life, was a World War II veteran, had encountered a lot of adversity, but also, you know, a lot of joy, you know, marriage and, you know, love of family, but watched a lot of his friends either in the war or just over the course of time. Here he is at the end of his life. He hasn't reconciled with his brother. And, you know, and it's sort of like this is a thing he's got to do before, before you know, he and his brother depart this life. You know, it's just, man, they talk about, and that's a true, I mean, that's actually why he did this. That's why he took this trip on a lawnmower, you know.
Well, you, one thing you do well is you bring the atmosphere of the movie into the review so a person can kind of get a sense of the movie. I like that.
Well, and I like to have, you know, I want to give you a little bit of a, not just a synopsis of the movie.
Right.
But here's a reason you want to watch this movie. And I try to think of it, any recommendation I make, as sort of my gift to a reader. You know, like I do naturally gravitate to movies I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I try to remember that I'm providing a recommendation to a wider audience that, you know, might or might not share all my interests and everything. So,
perfect.
But every once in a while I weaken and do something like, you know, winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, which is something I'm very interested in. You know,
that's fine.
Like, oh, you'll love this, you know.
Yeah.
Trust me.
In case you just tuned in, we have Larry Stevens in the studio with us. He does make a living. Levine. In fact, he's a freelance copywriter, so he helps a number of businesses or people if they have a website or they have a business plan, but they need somebody to help with writing and fine-tuning maybe the wording or the white papers. I think if a company creates them, then you help work through that or help them.
I don't know too many people are using white papers, but this particular software firm decided they...
Sure, sure.
And you've got a website in your byline. Is that your...
Yeah, that's my portfolio site. So that's where if you want to see some of the work that I've done and some of the more recent work I've done, it's chewytype.com.
And that's chewytype.com, C-H-E-W-Y-T-Y-P-E, chewytype.com. So if somebody needs some consultation or some tips or some advice, and you kind of work through them individually or with a company and so forth. Yeah. So, but you would be like a present-day Roger Ebert in a sense.
A little bit, I think, I don't know that Roger would consider me a Roger Ebert, but I mean, Roger is definitely somebody I really enjoyed. You know, he was one of the guys, I used to be one of those people like, oh, don't listen to the critics. You know, they're just people who, but, you know, he would do a lot of that where he would kind of bring in why you needed to see this film or something like that. It wasn't just, I thought it was great. The cinematography was nice. The music was good. The acting was, you know, he went beyond all that. And he would sort of like, you know, here's a reason. I know this movie doesn't, the subject matter may seem sort of esoteric, but you want to see it because... Right. And, you know,
gave you some reasons and a feel for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the March edition, you featured a film. Why'd you choose this one? And then read your little recap, your story about it.
Okay, the winning, The Racing Life, Paul Newman. So the thing about Paul Newman is a lot of people knew that he was a racer, but you hear a lot about celebrities who race, but it's kind of a thing that they do to kind of burnish their image in Hollywood kind of burnish their action star image or something like that. Well, Paul Newman, for him, it was a genuine passion, like something that got a hold of him. And actually, when you see this film, you'll realize that if he'd had his way, he probably would have become a professional racer and maybe left Hollywood behind, but I mean, thankfully he didn't leave Hollywood behind because I think that would have been a tragedy, because the work he did later in his life, a lot of the Academy Award winning work that he did later in his life, or nominated work, you know, was some of his best work and I think some of the best cinema that's ever been done. But I am interested in automotive racing. I've never done racing myself, but, you know, I'm a fan and everything. And when I was looking at one of the podcasts that I listened to, the gentleman Adam Carolla, which I'm sure some of the listeners are familiar with him. He's does mostly podcasts now, but he used to have a show called The Man Show on cable. Not terribly edifying, but, you know, you know, but at the same time, the guy is a very interesting kind of pop culture character. Anyway, he started purchasing some of Paul Newman's old race cars, and as he started digging into the actor's past and learning more about it, he realized this guy was not just, as I say in the review, he wasn't just some Hollywood playboy who was out there driving fast for kicks and giggles. Mm-hmm. He was somebody who genuinely wanted to be a very, you know, a professional level racer. So, you know, it's through that passion, you know, because we all have passions. We all have maybe one or two things that, you know, outside of work, maybe if it is work and your passion is your work, hey, good on you, you know, great.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, having a passion like that is one of the things where I think we learn a lot about ourselves. We learn
we
a
do.
Lot about it pushes us to do things that, you know, maybe we would normally be afraid of. And through this documentary, that's kind of where Adam Carolla kind of takes us. He does a little bit of talking about, here's how he got his start in racing, and this is the movie that he was working on that got him interested in it and that. But mostly it talks a little bit more about how this affected, you know, how this changed Paul Newman's life.
Oh,
so it was a very interesting, you know, if you're a fan of movies and you're a fan of Paul Newman, we're all familiar with his acting work,
right,
most of us.
Right.
But he was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
That's one of my.
The Sting.
I don't know. Did you ever do a review on that one? The Sting was another. Those were two of my favorites many years ago.
That's the thing is I want to do occasionally. I'll find myself wanting to do a review like that, but most everybody's seen that movie.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I'm kind of one of the goals I had with this column anyway was to try and point people at movies that, you know, maybe they weren't familiar with.
Right.
And, and some of them that included big Hollywood stars, but maybe they weren't big Hollywood stars yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is kind of the movie that might have put him on the map. But nobody really remembers that.
You've been successful at that, digging some out. Because Rob and I, as we exchange emails and everything, we're like, oh, wait, I've never heard of that one. Rob's like, I've never heard of that one.
Now, I will say the one exception to that, I think, that I've made was Jeremiah Johnson.
I was going to say Jeremiah Johnson,
because most people, I think, are familiar with that.
Yeah,
however, enough time has gone by, I think, that there's a new generation of moviegoers every year there's a new generation that pops up and starts getting interested. And, you know, I don't know. I know that the demographic, I don't know who we're targeting, you know, who we're targeting with this particular publication maybe isn't quite the youth. But having recommendations for movies that, you know, I think would appeal to them as well is, is good to include that in here.
So. Do you mind reading this month's edition of Front Row Seat?
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Did you like this graphic that Kelly came up with for you?
Yes.
You're seated there kind of with your popcorn bag.
I like that. And I like she hides my girth behind a big bag of popcorn, a big bucket of popcorn. So it's, you can't really.
She did a great job on that.
Yeah.
And she didn't do it to scale, so that was good. All right. Yeah, sure. So to have a passion for something is both a blessing and a curse. On the one hand, it can drive us to stretch ourselves and take risks that lead to a more fulfilling life. On the other, it has the potential to consume us if we can't temper its flame. Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman, is a fascinating look at how a fervent passion for the sport of auto racing shaped the life of one of the world's greatest actors. Producer and director Adam Carolla was inspired to make the film shortly after he started collecting some of Paul Newman's old race cars. As he dug deeper into the movie star's history, he discovered Newman wasn't just some celebrity playboy who drove fast cars for kicks and giggles. As his documentary reveals, Paul Newman was an accomplished race driver who would have happily traded any accolade Hollywood bestowed on him for just one more checkered flag or another trip to the winner's circle. Hmm. To tell his story, Carolla weaves together rare footage of Newman racing and talking about racing with present-day interviews of other celebrities and fellow drivers. Some of the celebrities we hear from include Robert Redford, Robert Wagner, and Jay Leno. We also get a few insights from Paul's brother, Arthur. What becomes most apparent from these interviews is that Paul Newman's inner circle wasn't a bunch of movie stars. It was a handful of relatively unknown racers and team owners who shared his passion. Guys like Bob Sharp, Sam Posey, and perhaps his best friend, Jim Fitzy Fitzgerald. When he was with them, he wasn't the Academy Award-winning actor. He was simply P.L., just another guy who poured his heart, soul, and sweat into being the best driver he could be. Now, if you're not a racing fan and wonder if this movie is really for you, I assure you it has something for everyone.
Hmm.
Although it centers on the racing life of Paul Newman, it's much more than an examination of how he got into motorsports or how many trophies he won. Those factoids are just the icing on the cake. What this movie does best is to use his love of racing to help us see past Paul Newman the icon and give us a rare glimpse of Paul Newman the friend, husband, and brother. If anything, it'll make you miss him even more.
Hmm. Factoids. Classic word there.
Well, I mean, a lot of that stuff, if you want, you can just go onto Wikipedia and you can find it out, you know.
Now, the ending here, when Larry isn't sweating a deadline or fending off humorless grammarians. Tell us about that. Rob loved that one.
Well, I wasn't really pointing that at Rob.
But he loved it. He practically has it framed.
He wears it as a badge of honor.
He does.
Humorless grammarian, I know.
He likes to unwind with a good movie. If you have comments about this movie review or suggestions for his next one, email him at LarryAV8R@gmail.com. So that's Larry. You all know how to spell that. LarryAV8R@gmail.com. You can also reach him through his personal website, and that's where if you need some copy editing work or some vision for your company or business, he can help you with that at chewytype.com, chewytype.com. Mm-hmm. He's our movie review expert, front row seat. He's on page A14 in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the March edition. He's been writing reviews for about a year now, and we so appreciate you, Larry, doing this.
We
and
sure do.
Being a part of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe and supporting the station and being available. Now, I would be remiss if we didn't close out and ask something about your dear wife, Lori. You were raving about her, saying God brought a wonderful woman into your life some years ago. You have your two sons, Eli and Evan, but a shout out for Lori. What would it be? What would be one, two, or three things that you like best about her?
Oh, well, one is, despite knowing everything about me, she still loves me.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I've told her this numerous times, but whenever I'm tempted to doubt, you know, the love of God or even the existence of God, you know, people have tough days or whatever. We as Christians, you know, we all face that. All I have to do is look at her.
Nice. Oh, wow.
And there's no greater evidence of his providence in my life than her.
And isn't it like God? I mean, that's the typical statement of so many of us that, you know, we attract an opposite. So our wife has the strengths and abilities or gifts or skill sets where maybe we're weak or inept or, you know, that's why there's that help meet, you know, experience. So that's Lori's that for you. So was it love at first sight when you met her? How did that work?
It was strong attraction at first sight, but I'll go ahead and tell this. She'll be fine.
She was dating a friend of yours. And then
you beat him up.
No. We are a product of the 21st century in that we met online. So,
I have a lot of friends
that
have
met
online. If you don't mind, I kind of like telling this story because this is, again, where God's hand was, I think, incredibly evident in this. I'd been trying this out. You know, I was mid-30s and tried the dating scene, then, you know, the usual routes, and a friend of mine suggested, you know, what about, you know, a Christian online dating service? Mm-hmm.
Get a profile
like
in there.
Like, oh, my gosh, that's terrible. I can't.
No, not me.
Admitting to, surely I can figure, you know. And I was like, you know, Larry, just give it a try. So, you know, I was on a couple. I won't buzz market any of those. I was on a couple, and I met a few people, but I, you know, as the second service or whatever that I was trying out, I was finally like, I don't know that this is, maybe God doesn't want me. You know, I started to come around to the idea that maybe he wants me to be single, but, man, I sure don't have that desire. Anyway, I was down to my last 2 weeks of the subscription on this other one, and she reached out to me and sent me a message. Said, I find your profile intriguing.
And,
nice. I like movies.
That's what she said.
No, wasn't that? That was really all she said. And so I looked at her profile and I saw her picture and I was like, wow, she finds me intriguing? You know, I was like, you know, all guys who have wives that they feel like they've
married up,
punched above their weight, or, you know, hit one out of the park. You know, I was like, what's wrong with her? That she, you know,
anyway. What bag is she to be
exactly. Bringing? She's got it. She must be insane. No, but we eventually got together. But I look at that, and I was like, you know, like I said, I was basically told God. I was like, okay, God, I get it. I get it. At least not this avenue. This isn't what.
Yeah.
And it was like that last.
There she was.
2 weeks. There she was. Yeah. She showed up.
And you've been married how long?
13 years. We just celebrated our 13th anniversary in February.
So that was kind of the early days of internet dating. Now it's very popular. I have a lot of friends that have met online.
Yeah.
And
it was before social media, really. Yeah. I mean, it was actually went to a website and built a profile and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Larry, for sharing that. Thank you, Lori, for being such a great help me and
great person,
you know, in addition to the Stevens family there, your two boys, and allowing your husband to spend some time writing this front row seat movie reviews for the Prime Life Times paper, and
it's a big asset.
We appreciate it. So get your edition this month in over 250 area locations, or read it online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com.
And I know what's coming in April. It's another good one.
Yes.
A good one. Yeah, that
we're
working.
Can we give them a
head? Nope. We can't give anything
sworn
away.
Sworn to secrecy.
Yeah,
right.
Sworn to secrecy. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Larry Stevens with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you and have a great day and night.